101.3 ESPN.
Happy Friday, everybody. I'm back. I've got stories, and I want to hear the stories from what happened here while I was gone. What's coming up today here on 101.3 ESPN? Well, the huddle starts right now, and then tonight, 7 o'clock, we've got World Series Game 3. It's the Dodgers at the Astros. Yu Darvish against Lance McCullers. Someone's going to come out ahead in this series. Series currently tied one game apiece. Over on 960 The Zone tonight at Friday Night Football, 7 o'clock. The playoffs are underway. We've got Mount Mansfield at Burlington. Burlington coming off a 7-1 regular season. Our own Rich Haskell will be on the call. Vermont High School playoff soccer in action currently. We'll keep you updated throughout the show as well. And we'll preview high school football tonight at 4:55. Patriots football this weekend. The Pats taking on the Los Angeles Chargers. We'll have that game for you on Sunday. 10 a.m. coverage starts with the pregame show over on 960 The Zone. What are the keys to the game? We'll get into that. And how does the defense move forward without Dante Hightower? The Celtics were winners yesterday. Kyrie Irving had his best game in Boston, 24 points. This SportsCenter update is brought to you by the Vermont Employment Agency. Give them a call today, 802-782-8255. You're in huddle right here on 101.3 ESPN, 101.3ESPN.com. And we're always streaming on the 101.3 ESPN app.
The Huddle with Rich and Arnie, powered by Reuben James, Main Street in Burlington. Find them online at rjsburlington.com. Now, here's The Huddle with Rich and Arnie, live on 101.3 ESPN, 101.3 ESPN.com, and streaming worldwide on the 101.3 ESPN app.
Good afternoon. You are in the huddle right here, 103 ESPN. It is a Friday. Thank goodness for that. October 27th. Everybody here and accounted for. Brady's here. Rich is here. Arnie's here. How you doing, handsome? Welcome back. Brady back from his big excursion. Where? The SUNY Oswego, right?
That's right. Oswego State, as I like to call it.
How did it go? Tell us. Were you a big star there?
Autograph
lines. Did you run up the red carpet or what? Yeah.
You know, it was a lot of fun. I was on the red carpet, actually.
Oh, look at that. Yeah. I knew it there.
Why? Is the carpet just happen to be red?
No, there was a red carpet show. They had it streamed on the campus television station and the campus.
Wow.
You could have watched me on Facebook Live.
250 million people watching.
That's right. So, no, it was great. It was a lot of fun. I got some stories, some big stories, some small stories, but I got some stories.
I have to tell you, and I didn't hear any of your speech.
I'm sure.
But I have to assume you didn't do a good job.
I did a good job.
Well, the only reason I say that is because we asked you before the show, how many times did you mention us, Rich and Arnie, and you said none. And I'm like, well, then it couldn't have been a good speech if you didn't mention the show. Did you mention you had a show?
Yes.
You mentioned you had a show, but our names didn't come up. How does that work there,
you
Rich?
You didn't take advantage of saying the name Arnie Spanier with a half a billion people or whatever listening to his show?
How could you talk about your show when you don't mention your co-host? How is that possible?
I said, I am one of three voices on a show from 4 to 6, and then I am a solo host from 6 to 7.
Couldn't elaborate more?
We're just a pair of percentages.
I guess.
Hey, Mr. 33 1/3, how are you?
It must be that, huh?
But no, it was a lot of fun. A lot of driving. I don't know how you do that for fun, Rich.
Oh, it's great.
6 hours there on Wednesday night, 6 hours back on Thursday night.
I wish I could do it tonight.
And you know what?
That drive sucks, too.
Yeah. You know what was really fun, though? And so every Wednesday, I used to go to this place called Green's Ale House. Every Wednesday, the baseball team would go to Green's Ale House. And the owner there, he loved us all. And he liked me, and I've kept in contact with him. So, you know, we have a good relationship. So I go into town. I'm driving into town, and it's like 12:15 on Wednesday night. I'd been listening to the World Series Game 2 the whole way, and I'm thinking to myself, there's no way this game's going to be on still by the time I get back. So I'm like, I'm just going to go to the hotel, get some food, go to the hotel. Well, I pull in front of Green's Ale House, 11th inning, one out. Walk in, and there's the owner. He sees me, and the owner's always a little bit buzzed. Right. So he sees me. He looks at me, and he goes, No way. Your back shot a Black House. So
what's Black House?
That sounds horrible.
It's,
yeah.
it's Blackberry Schnapps.
Oh,
jeez. But, I mean,
you just drink cough medicine. Yeah, I'll have a shot of cough medicine, yeah. please.
Can I have some motor oil, please? Yeah.
So, I mean, but that was the thing. Like, whenever I would go there on Wednesday night, he would start off every Wednesday when the baseball team got there with shots of Black House.
Because
so.
Nobody would buy it.
So I get there. Here's just a shot of Black House and a Labatt Blue in my hand. And I'm like, you know, it's 1 a.m. I got to be up at 8. And like, I had to check in. My hotel room was on campus.
Oh.
Think about it. So the admissions building at Oswego used to be a hotel. They still have half the rooms in there are hotel rooms. So they give them out for things like this.
Oh, I like that. That's nice.
So I was staying on campus. But I had to go to the university police office to get my keys.
Oh.
So I'm like, hey, shot a Black House and a beer, and then we'll go to UP. Like, it'll be a great party.
Can you imagine just getting there?
No, officer, I haven't had anything.
Going to hell, officer. By the way, what time? Can you bring me up some room service?
Yeah. Wow. Can you so do that's quite like the that? Drunk tank in that place, huh?
It was a number one small party school in America.
Wow. Look at you, Oswego.
Small party or small school that parties?
Small school that parties. Yeah. It was number one in the mid-major power rankings of party schools.
Okay, because I'm sure Groovy Uvy's way up there every year in the bigger schools.
Rich would have loved this.
I never partied at Arizona.
I know you didn't. Never. Because you're not fun.
No. I was all studying.
Dr. Dull.
I wanted to make something of myself.
Well's
right.
The last Friday of every school year, we used to have, they used to call it the Bridge Street Run. And Bridge Street is the street that Oswego's on, and it has the most bars per square mile of any street in the U.S. There's like 37 bars on Bridge Street or just off Bridge Street.
You should move there now.
So what you would do the last Friday of every school year, so the last Friday in May before finals week, you would go from campus all the way to the end of Bridge Street. So you would start at the very beginning of Bridge Street, and your goal would be to have a drink at every one of those bars up until campus.
That's 37,
campus.
You said?
It's something like that. I'd hate to be the bouncer at the 37th bar.
So, well, they ended up canceling it to some degree, disassociating because of what you just said.
Well, it was like Spring Day at Linden State. They'd put up an extra large flag, and they'd call it Spring Day, and everybody would basically just get insanely hammered starting at 7 o'clock in the morning. So there wasn't really much point to it.
How many speakers were there besides you?
So there were four panelists they were talking about how to cover politics. So there was four panelists
that.
That
must be great.
Right. So they were doing like a speech, and then there was four, they call them career connectors. That's what I was, which is alumni.
Career connectors.
Yeah. So I might have gotten one guy a job, too.
Wow.
So there was four of us.
Yours.
So there was four, board off.
Yeah.
So there were four of us, all people who had graduated around the same year as me, so I went to one class, and here's what's funny. This is how I knew I did a good job.
Yeah.
This is how I knew people were interested.
Without mentioning us, I still don't know how that's possible, but go ahead.
So the first speech I had was at 9:35 in the morning, and that was volunteer. People just had seen flyers on campus, on social media, and they chose to come. It wasn't like a teacher forced them to. It wasn't like required. So people just showed up.
And this is 4 hours after your last Blackberry Schnapps.
I would have been sleeping at 9:30. No way I would have made that.
So people actually volunteered to show up, and it went really good. And they were engaging. We talked a lot, for a full hour and a half and answered questions. And then I went to the next class. And that teacher, totally forgot what day it was. She canceled class. The teacher canceled class.
Oh, so you had nobody there.
No, hold on. I'm getting there. Okay, right. The teacher canceled class, and then the teacher's assistants are like, does she know what day it is? Like, does she have any idea that these people are coming? So the TAs, who were like 20 years old also, emailed the class and said, no, class is still on. We're having a speaker. And everybody showed up.
No, that doesn't happen in my
Everybody
not in
showed up.
No, if the teacher doesn't come in the first 5 minutes, you leave. You just walked out.
She had sent the email canceling class. Yeah. The TA sent the email saying, class on, and they all came.
At this day and age now, Arnie, this is before, way after our time in college, but I think the students out of pure guilt because the parents are spending $50,000 a year, they show up for class.
Rich, you could send up the bad signal to say class isn't canceled, I wasn't going, all right? You could have the bad signal up there. What's going to happen?
So what did you talk about?
I talked about the struggle, the grind, the business, how hard it was to get to this point, how grateful I am to be at this point. answered a lot of questions. I showed them Arnie's favorite thing, my topic tree on how we come up with topics.
Wow. I invented that, by the way.
Arnie did tell me that a long time ago.
I'm not kidding around.
Is it in your book?
Yeah, it is. I've had like every major boss in this industry steal that and say it was theirs.
So I showed how we planned the show, talked about how we get guests. They asked what's the best part of the job, what's the worst part of the job. I said hanging out with Arnie.
So my name did come up. I knew it.
Finally.
I knew it did, damn.
They asked me what was my best memory of Oswego. I wanted to say any day at Green's Ale House, but I gave the politically correct answer.
Sorry, I couldn't remember any of them.
Let's do that. We took a lot of texts yesterday. So Brady wants to know, how did the show go yesterday? So you could get a hold of us on the Town Fair Tire text line, 802-655-6672, 802-655-6672. We did the four C's yesterday, where we took complaints, comments, compliments, comments, whatever.
Concerns,
all that, five C's.
Yeah, the show, basically, when you're not around, is about as freeform as a Fish concert.
Yeah.
It really was.
So tell Brady what you thought of the show, you want to do different, and all that stuff. So did you read all the comments from yesterday, or what?
I read all the comments. I want to know, did things get done? Like, did everything that needed, like, did you actually talk to Matt Verderam? That's my first question.
Yeah. What do you mean by talk to?
Did he come on the show?
He came on the show, but we talked about other stuff.
You didn't talk about football?
Well, we did. We got, like, two questions in on football.
We tried to get something out of him about your Oswego days.
Yeah, he wouldn't give that up.
He says there's really not much to tell, and he was about to tell something, and I know this is a shock, but Arnie wouldn't let him finish his sentence, so
we didn't.
We never heard.
And who else were we supposed to have?
Did you talk to Ken Kreitz?
Did we? Yes, we did. Yes, he was on.
Okay.
And
did you remember?
No, I didn't call Michael Jordan. I forgot about that. That's my bad. That's my fault. I'm sorry. Oh, and Tom Brady, I forgot to. That's my bad.
He was too busy with his Aston Martins.
I was either going to call Tom Brady or tell one of my stories again. I decided to go with the story.
So, did you remember to tell people that Ken Kreitz is brought to you by the Valley Vape Company, located at 12
Park
Street?
Yes, I did. Oh, you bet. Did my wife not come down here
and
yell at me?
She threatened him.
Yes, she did.
So far, you're 3 for 3.
I am 3 for 3.
My fourth question is, did you take all the commercials around when they're supposed to be taken? Because I actually got...
We didn't move any.
I actually got a text message that said, hey, it's 6 o'clock and Arnie's still talking.
Yes.
You didn't get out in time.
No, we did not. What were we doing?
So that's a failure.
We were 20 seconds over, so we missed the first 20 seconds of Bomani Jones.
Yeah. But actually, they were in the middle of a commercial by the time we got off, and then Bomani Jones came on.
So that's a
failure. I didn't even know who was coming on at that time anyway. So what difference does it make?
So that's a failure.
Yes, that's a failure. I didn't get out at the right time.
Did you remember to get an ESPN trip qualifier?
Yes, we did. Did we not?
Then why do I not have that person's name?
And the thing,
that's Jason's fault.
That
would be Jason's fault.
The thing I couldn't believe is he didn't say, let's send it to somebody else because I have no idea about any of the rules of this contest.
That's why I gave it to Jason.
He actually sent it over to Jason, who didn't know, so he took responsibility and got a winner.
I made Jason write it down for me. He typed it up for me.
You ever seen Jason's
penmanship? Oh, my God. It took him 2 hours to write out the show and print it. And really, it was he killed at least 3 trees yesterday with all the paper that
he was a problem.
Oh, my goodness.
But Arnie was absolutely brutal to Jason yesterday.
No, I was not brutal
to him.
Did
this go on all summer while I was gone? Did that go on? How can a kid still have a job? Yeah, why would he stay here?
You said they loved him. He's a lovable goofball.
Right,
you saw some
but
of
you're
those
crushing him the whole show.
What, a little discipline in somebody's life? You can't have a little bit of discipline?
Well, I would have lasted about a minute
Have
duress.
You ever seen the movie The Great Santini?
No, I've never heard of it.
Get out of here, where the father's a real son of a,
Great Satriani. Joe's a great guitar player.
I can't believe you've never seen that. What's wrong with
Chris on the text line says, Brady, we missed you yesterday. Name's Arnie, but
Arnie.
That's close enough.
I call him that all the time.
Arnie was mean to the goofy kid you had on.
And that's Jason, thank you.
And Rich was trying to protect him. It was a good show, though. You must have left those boys with crib notes.
Look, the goofy boy is Jason. Do they not know who the goofy kid is anymore?
I don't
know. If they don't know your name is Arnie, not Artie, then
But they should know. They should know Jason by now. He had been with us since
four months.
When did we hire Jason?
May.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, how do you not know who? It's always the goofy kid. The goofy kid. I don't understand.
Apparently, he didn't make much of an impression while I was gone.
Unbelievable.
Why don't we say what's coming up on the show, let's go take a break, and then we'll come back.
What break? No breaks today. All right, what's coming up on the show? What do we got going?
All right, on the other side of the break, we'll get into all this. I'll share some more stories from my trip back to Oswego. We'll talk about how I almost fell out of the golf cart. We'll talk about how I've the wind that I missed in Oswego was somehow just back the minute I came there. We'll get more on Dante Hightower, more on the Patriots and Chargers. Brandon Lang at 520, Power Play 535, and when we come back, some people now saying some things about Joe Girardi, and I'm upset I got to miss that yesterday.
Look how he wants us to break at 15 after the hour. We usually go to like 20 past the hour.
Right?
I don't understand. Usually we go the whole hour without taking a break.
Well, let's take a break now.
Wow, look at that.
We're supposed to break at 15.
I thought we were supposed to break at 19 after.
No, we're supposed to break at 15.
I usually push it a little bit.
Are we really having this conversation?
I usually push it a little bit so the next segment's a little bit shorter, but that's okay. We'll get into Joe Girardi when we get back. You're on 101.3 ESPN.
Rich, Arnie, and Brady are back, and they're already starting to argue. The Huddle on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You're in the huddle right here, 101.3 ESPN. Remember, coming up later on, we'll have Brandon Lang, our Vegas insider. Also, Power Play, the new and exciting game, sweep of the country. And look, I know we always say we dumb it down. You know what? If I'm lying, I will quit my job. Let me read you.
I will quit also.
Yeah. So there'll be none of us left.
You know what? I'm going to read question one.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to read question
all
one.
All right.
Well, not that I'm giving it away, but I have to assume everybody listening to the show knows the answer. It's true, false. It's going to be true, false. No more three questions. Because you got to understand, we're getting sponsors for Power Play. And they don't like when we go through like a year and a half of not getting a winner. You know what I mean?
When we don't get winners.
You love it. You think it's hysterical.
Yeah, but an occasional winner would be nice.
No, because if nobody wins, then I just get to take everything for myself.
Just kidding.
If
we don't get a winner, you know how usually I'll say we'll give a $100 gift certificate? I'm not even going to raise it this time.
No,
I'm giving
you
the 25
not.
Because first question, football is played on a football field, true, false?
And
you know what? I'm going to give the answer to that, just in case people think it's a trick question.
Go for it, Arnie.
True.
Yes.
True.
And the reason why I put that as number one is because you always use that as like your... When you lie and say, oh, we really dumbed it down, it's like football's played on a football field, true, false? I made the first question, football's played on a football field, true, false.
And I can tell you, and I promise this is true, the next nine aren't much more difficult
than
that. No,
it gets easier than that. That was the hardest question of the 10.
So if there's ever a time you think you're being smart and waiting for the seven other callers to set it right up for
you. I can't do it anymore. You're killing PowerPoint.
Today is not that day.
I had to make it about as easy as possible. Even Rich would get 9 out of 10. That's how easy it is. Yeah, really, seriously.
Which one would I get wrong? The one about 1 + 1 = 2,
no,
true or false?
I didn't know if you knew football is played on a football field. I was a little...
It's played on a soccer pitch.
Wait.
That was
iffy. Which football? Are we talking about football or football?
No, I already gave the answer. I said that's true. There's no trick questions here. So anyway, that's Power Play, the new and exciting game, sweep of the country, that's coming up later on. Brady, let's go and get right at Joe Girardi. I said yesterday, just to kind of reiterate on this, he's been around for 10 years. Mm-hmm. He had the highest winning percentage out of any manager that's had any decent amount of time, maybe 2-3 years. I think it was 57.
He's got the second most amount of wins since 2009. Only Joe Madden's higher.
Okay, so he had done a great job. I said, when you lose a job like that, and the Yankees did not come out right away, and I think we talked about this. We were a little surprised that after their last game, you know, boom, they don't make a move. I said, it's got to be something else. It's either personality conflict, which they're not going to tell you, or they just feel that they want to get it younger and move on. Yankees and Red Sox, the grass isn't always greener. One team wins back-to-back AL East titles. The other one finishes in the wild card, has a great year. And both of them get rid of the managers. There's teams that don't even make the playoffs that don't get rid of their managers.
The thing that mystifies me about this, the way this whole thing came down, is don't you think that the Yankees would have... If he did want to leave, and I feel that he did want to leave. I felt that after game two of the Cleveland series at that press conference. He just looked exhausted to me. Wouldn't you put it to the press, to the media, that he has decided to leave? He has stepped down. I mean, I was sure he was going to leave. The only thing that surprised me about any of this coming down was the fact that they set it up to say that he was let go.
Well, remember, his contract was up.
Right.
So
that's still fired.
So he was technically a free agent. So no, he was. I don't. In my mind, he wasn't technically fired. He's not being re-signed.
Brady,
he was technically a free agent.
That's open for discussion.
He was not. In my mind, he was not fired. Now, I still think what they did to him was wrong. Based on performance, he deserved every bit of that job, and that he deserved that the ground he walked on worshipped by Yankee fans, as far as I'm concerned. But I don't think he was fired.
He was fired before the year started when they didn't give him an extension.
Okay,
that's
when
he was fired. He was fired in the middle of the year when they didn't think they were going to have that good of a run, and he was fired at the end of the year when they said, "Wow, we're really playing well, but we're still not going to give him an extension." That's when he was fired, and it doesn't make a difference if the girl broke up with you or you broke up with the girl or was mutual. You're no longer together. That's what it comes out to.
All right, now I'd like to hear from people on this. What's the difference between contract not renewed and fired?
They don't want you either way.
Is that different?
Contract renewed means your contract was up and we don't want you back.
Right. So they're getting rid of you.
Contract fired means we have to pay you and we still don't want you back.
I mean, to me, it's sort of the same thing.
It is. They didn't want him back. If they wanted him back, they would have signed at the beginning of the year. Or after a great year he had, they would have signed him after the year, but they didn't want him back.
Like, I think we can quibble about semantics. Yeah. I don't think he was fired, but nonetheless, he's not back. And I think, just like with John Farrell, from performance standpoint, it's absolutely ludicrous. He won a World Series. He got to the playoffs this year, and he wasn't supposed to. And he dealt with all the extracurricular stuff that it's unprecedented to me what he had to deal with. It's not just being in New York, but Aroldis Chapman acquiring a guy who's going through the domestic violence allegations, and he's really the first one to go through it. You trade for that guy. You answer those questions. Then you bring that guy back. You re-answer them. A-Rod gets suspended from baseball, and A-Rod comes back, and then A-Rod retires, and all of that happens while you're in the manager's seat. Jeter, Rivera, the goodbye tours, all of that stuff happened. He dealt with all of that.
Yeah.
And he succeeded, and he kept them relevant at a time when I don't think anybody else could.
No, this is, it's sort of it's the disadvantage a little bit of you being gone for a day. I mean, we talked at great length about this yesterday. That's exactly what my take was on it. I couldn't believe the Yankees did this. But that being said, do you think this is, and I asked this about when Farrell was gone a couple of weeks ago, do you think the front office, Steinbrenner, Hal Steinbrenner, Brian Cashman, went into some of the players, some of the older players, and said, what do you think?
Well,
what's your opinion?
No. This is not about the older players. The older players are almost gone. This is about relating to younger players.
Any players.
Well, I don't think that's what it's about.
Office interference in this.
Michael Kay was on Mike and Mike this morning.
Uh-huh.
Here's what Michael Kay had to say about it.
He gave some pushback at times with the overwhelming analytics that the Yankees endorse. I mean, this is a heavily analytic team. Everything is driven by the numbers. It's all black and white. There's very little room for a manager to manage by the gut. And also, our friend Ian O'Connor had a perfect line that kind of sums up. Joe Girardi is a clenched fist, and that's how he goes about his job. And I think that the front office was somewhat concerned was that constant driving, tension, needing to win every single game. He's probably more suited to be a football coach than a baseball coach. Over 162 games, over 6 months, the Yankee front office, I believe, felt that wore on the players because...
So it's not it's about relating to younger players. Younger players need a, quote, more fun, loose environment.
I don't know if this plays into it. This is just my thinking. I saw this happen with the Raiders, too, and this is only natural when you have a passing of the team. He was manager for 10 years. George Steinbrenner passed away, 2010. So he passed away about 7 years ago. Mm-hmm. This was George's last hire, was it not, if I'm correct? Was Joe Girardi the manager?
So. I believe so.
Because after that, even before he died, I know Hal started taking over the team. It comes to some point where Hal's saying, hey, my dad passed away in 2010. It's been 7 years. That's his manager, okay? That's who my dad hired. I'm the owner of the team. I'm running the team, even though he doesn't. I own the team. I'm going to bring in my manager now for the rest of the years. And that happened in Oakland, too, when Al Davis passed away and his son took over. That's only natural, Rich. When you take over a company, you want to run it the way you want to run it.
And I love what Ian O'Connor says. I completely agree with him. He was a clenched fist. It just take the eye test. I mean, as just a random watcher of Yankee games, he looked like he was about to explode every minute.
That's his personality.
He never looked like he was having fun. I mean, he was a scary-looking
dude. Does Belichick look like he's having fun?
No, but Belichick doesn't have muscles popping out of his muscles. I mean, Girardi's an intimidating guy. You never, ever saw him smile.
But he was for 10 years, though. It didn't bother him 10 years ago. Why would it bother you now?
Maybe it does now. I mean, maybe it's as simple as the fact that they want somebody with a... I mean, the thing...
I think it's how.
The thing really about Girardi, they always said he was very prickly when he was a player with the media. But I thought he did a really good job. It seemed like a guy who was so wound up and looked like he was ready to explode at any moment during the entire game, was very good with the media. It seemed like he was able to decompress after the game and calm down a little bit.
Yeah, Arnie, I disagree with you. Generally, I would look. I've heard Colin Cowherd say this a lot. I generally agree with you that, and oftentimes it means less to the second generation than it does to the guy who started it, right? You know, it doesn't mean as much to Genie Bus as it did to, you know, Dr. Bus. Like, we've heard that.
I would actually agree with that. So, I would agree with that.
But as far as Hal wanting to put his own stamp on this, Brian Cashman's contract is up also.
Yeah.
He's probably going to bring Brian Cashman back because Brian Cashman is the one getting rid of Joe Girardi.
Yeah,
he would get rid of Brian Cashman if he wanted it to be solely his thing.
And I was, again, equated to the Laker thing, since you brought up Genie Buss, when they got rid of, what's his name, the tall ex-Laker guy. Mitch Kupchak.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. Mitch Kupchak and Dr. Buss were more than just working partners. They were like confidants. That's why it took so long for Genie to fire somebody like that. Maybe, and I think Cashman and Hal Steinbrenner, George, were very, very close. Very close, which is why he kept his job for as long as he did. And I think Hal, out of respect for his dad, is keeping him around. Now, I could be wrong on that, but you can't get rid of everybody from the past. At least I don't think you can. But
well, if you're Derek Jeter, you can.
Well, in Miami. Eventually, those players, they've come to the end of their careers. Look, you may be right on that, but I think Hal does have some respect for his father, but one to put his own stamp on it. A manager shows you the owner. I picked him. A general manager, you know, a lot of people don't follow GMs, but go ahead.
Rich, just to piggyback off something you said, too, about Ian O'Connor's comments, I found them insightful. And again, performance-wise, Joe Girardi doesn't deserve to lose his job. And performance-wise, I will defend Joe Girardi, much like you said you did yesterday, much like I just did. But I found it really interesting to hear him say he's better suited to be a football coach. I don't really think that that works in baseball anymore all that much, especially when you talk about at the professional level where it's 6 months long. My high school coach, and I know people are going to say, how the hell are you comparing high school baseball to Major League Baseball? But my high school coach was straight out of 1972, okay? And I liked him a lot, and he was drill sergeant, and everything was this. And I felt we were by far the most prepared team ever in practice. I went to college, and I was like, wow, I feel like I've done harder practices in high school. I felt so prepared. But when the game came, it was like everything, you were just so tense. Like, he wanted to win so bad, and that pressure got put down to you so much that we ended up, my high school was notorious for choking in the playoffs. Best record all year, choking the playoffs. And a lot of it was because of his attitude just in the dugout. You just couldn't overcome it. So that struck a chord with me.
Just an observation from being in the locker room for 80 straight days this summer. It absolutely is half psychology and half managing baseball.
You're half guidance counselor, half parent, like you're half everything.
And of course, we're talking about in the Connecticut's case, in the New York Penn League's case, of a bunch of 19 and 20-year-olds, some of them away from home for the first time in their lives. Mm-hmm. So it's a little bit different than what Joe Girardi had to deal with. But yeah, I think people underestimate the grind of baseball and the mental grind of baseball more than any other sport.
That's why I still think you got to go split season. I don't want to get into that, though. Brady, do you want to get into the Hightower injury real quick?
Yeah, we can get into that. So, go figure, I'm gone and everything happened.
The Hightower's gone. Well, in case you didn't hear, Hightower gone for the year, right? That's the latest.
It looks like. Yes. The Patriots haven't confirmed the year, but Ian Rappaport, Adam Schefter, they're all saying it looks like it. This is a big loss. Yes, I mean, I heard you guys talk with Matt Verderam yesterday, and you did ask him about Hightower, and he said by far he's the best player on the team, and really limits their versatility if he's not able to go and when he's not able to go. I mean, the trade deadline is looming. Trade deadline is Tuesday.
Right. Yep.
The Pats have made midseason moves in the past. They made a big one last year in getting rid of Jamie Collins. Do you think they will go and be aggressive at the deadline to bring somebody in?
I found that article. I sent you guys, I sent Brady. I don't know if I gave it to you, Richard. Six things that the Patriots could do to replace him. And I was going through the list there, and maybe Brady will pick 1, 2, and 3. I went right to 4 and said, try to get Rob Ninkovich out of retirement. You're laughing.
Well,
I don't know why you're laughing at
because
that.
Because they will need him literally in, 9 days? I mean, they won't because they have a bye week coming up. So maybe that's a possibility.
I don't know if it is. I don't know how much. I think he's interested, but didn't he pull this before that he said he was going to retire or not? They gave a bunch of options. Either way, whatever they do, and I thought that was a pretty decent option considering what he knows. I think it's a tremendous, tremendous loss and is absolutely going to keep the Patriots from winning the Super Bowl because of that.
Well, a lot of people are talking in Boston media about the loss of the communications leader. I mean, of all the teams, you can't have communications breakdown. The king of communication breakdowns in the first month of the season, the New England Patriots. He was the key guy in the middle of the huddle. He was running the show. And they're going to have to find somebody, whether it's Van Noy or whatever. Shea McClellan is going to be coming back.
That was
probably
another option,
not until
Van
the Denver
yeah.
game, which is in, what, two or three weeks?
November 12th.
November 12th, after the bye week, I guess is that what that would be. I'm not sure. But anyway, yeah. so you've got to figure out a stopgap in the meantime. And, I mean, I'm not sure who that is. A Landon Roberts, does he step out? What about David Harris, who suddenly has started to play a little bit over the last couple of weeks?
I don't think the Patriots can go out and make a big move. And I read that Adam Schefter thinks they're going to be aggressive. And I just don't see that here as far as the trade deadline goes. One, you are getting Shea McClellan back, who played 35% right. of your snaps last year. You're going to get him back in two games from now. He won't play, he can't play this week against Los Angeles, but he could play your next game after that, November 12th. So you can get potentially an impact player, a guy who you plan to be a starter. You can get that guy back, and he can kind of serve as that big acquisition. Also, remember, you have other injury concerns on this team.
Malcolm Brown is a biggie.
If you were going to make moves, maybe you make a move on the D-line for Malcolm Brown. Danny Amendola is going to play this week, but he's always a ticking time bomb. Maybe you'd make a move for a wide receiver. You have other needs there. And the last one, I don't find it likely, because if you're going to trade at this point of the year, you're probably trading draft picks. And the Patriots have traded away a lot of draft picks. They traded away a couple to get Cassius March from Seattle. They traded away one for Johnson Badamosi from Detroit. You don't want to start giving off too many potential future assets. I think they stand pat. You're right.
By the way, I think Amendola is hurt. I think
he's going to play, though.
Oh, yeah, but I think he's
hurt. Yeah, okay. Yes, he's hurt.
Permanently hurt.
He's got a knee injury, hyperextended knee, but he will play this week.
I may have misread it. I think he also hurt his back. I'm serious.
Is it my imagination, or is Tom Brady the only healthy Patriot?
I thought you'd be serious about that.
He's got the strained AC joint. Yeah.
He said he's going to play. You're right, but I think he hurt his back also. I don't know how much that's going to affect him. Also, they said one other thing, and Rich, you probably know better than us, sign Akeem Ayers. Is that what it is? Who was on the team back, 2014? Yep. And he put out an emoji, or a tweet, saying his name, because obviously he used to play for the Patriots. They said that's an option. He had 4 sacks. He's a pass-rushing specialist. Used the opportunity to showcase his ability. He earned a contract with the Rams. However, he wasn't effective with the Rams as he was with the Patriots. He ended up signing with the Colts in 2016. Right now, he's without a team.
Yeah.
You know, Belichick, that's the type of player that Belichick gets. Everybody goes, where'd you get that guy? Belichick's a genius. Is that not the type of player that Belichick would
like? That decision to get rid of that the pick for a number two, what was the thing? They gave the guy away to the Jets.
Tony Ealy.
Yeah, Cody. Sure could use him right now.
And you gave away a pick for Brandon Cooks. Like, you've traded away a lot of draft picks.
I tell you, there are so many times when I think this team wins in spite of itself. I really do.
And I'll say this quickly. For a team that's getting older at key positions, Brady's getting older, Edelman, we don't know that Edelman will ever be the same. We don't know that Gronk will ever be the same if he had another injury. We don't know how long Amendola can stay healthy for it. Now we don't know about Hightower. You're going to need these picks, because you're going to need to start to hit for things for the future.
You are, because this team, although it's not there yet, when they go off the cliff, it's going to be a mighty drop. It's going to be quick. They're going to go from 12-4 to 4-12, and it's going. I hope we're ready for it. I don't think it's happening in the next year or two, but it will happen.
All right, when we get back, Celts and Bucks and more than just the game, we'll get into that. Dustin Pedroia out for a life, I think. I don't know. It's like 7 months. We'll touch on that also. And the World Series, which 2 games in, and people say, it's the best ever. So we'll touch on that also. Plenty to get to. You're in the huddle right here on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, break time is over. Back to the best sports talk in the Champlain Valley. It's The Huddle with Rich and Arnie, only on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You are in The Huddle right here, 101.3 ESPN. It is a Friday. Yeah. Lots going on. Brandon Lang's going to join us a little bit later on. Of course, our Vegas Insider. Don't forget Power Play, the new and exciting game sweep of the country. Thanks to our friends over at Eco Beans and Greens. We dumbed it down to all proportions, did we not, Rich?
This time, trust me, we're not lying.
All right. No,
you're saying fool me once, but no, we dumbed this down to epic levels.
And the next time you guys are going to see Rich, he is going to have a beard and mustache like the guy who remember the guy that used to do the interesting man in the world?
Let's go with Joe Thornton. Did you see the Sharks game last night at the Garden?
No.
It must be a foot long.
Oh, is it? Well, you're going to see.
How about Dallas Keuchel, speaking of the World Series?
Or Brett Burns.
Or Justin Turner.
Yeah. Oh, that's horrible, Justin Turner.
That looks ridiculous.
That's ridiculous.
Is that us being old, or does that look
ridiculous? No, that's ridiculous.
I just think it's itchy.
Clayton Kershaw is itchy. That's the worst beard, neck beard ever.
No, Andrew Luck is the worst.
Andrew Luck neck. Yes.
I mean, there are colonies living in his beard.
Yeah, it's horrible. The only reason we bring that up is Vermont Beard and Mustache Company came by and gave us some shaving stuff. And, you know, stuff for your beard to make it look good, Rich. That's just horrible.
That's going to take a lot.
Yeah, it is. It is going to take a lot. This guy had a beard like unbelievable.
He did.
Man. It looked like
Abraham. He should be playing guitar for ZZ Top.
I'm like, Abraham Lincoln's alive. Look at that, man. Unbelievable. So we'll be telling you about that later on. All right, Brady, do we want to go and start with the Celtics? Because I'm kind of surprised they won on the road. No, I am surprised. Why is that? I mean, because I thought.
You know what? It's a fair thing because Milwaukee has become a good team.
Yes, they are a good
team.
Greek
Freak is the best player in the NBA right now.
He may win MVP.
Oh, absolutely.
And Milwaukee was favored. And, yeah, I thought Milwaukee was going to win that game.
They don't have much else. Maybe Chris Middleton, but that's a one-man
team.
They
got the Rookie of the Year, Malcolm Brogdon. And they just beat the Celtics at home themselves a week ago.
It was a good win.
As far as last night goes, I mean, all the to-do about Kyrie Irving talking about the court, because they were not playing at the Bucks' real court at the Bradley Center. They were playing across the street at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. I like that. Smaller setting, 11,000 people, sell out. College Field, they're on top, good acoustics. I liked it.
Yeah, why don't we have the Celtics play 10 feet to the right at the Boston? Oh, wait, that won't work.
You know, you got to do that more. You know, like in college, they'll play games on an aircraft carrier and stuff like that.
Which was cool, I thought.
That is unbelievable, except for what? Last year when they had to cancel the game at halftime or before the game, the Michigan State game, I think it was.
Right. But if you're going to do that one time, that's cool.
That's what's sort of happened
now in the NHL is they're putting these outdoor games, and there's now like seven of them every year, and it's just not the same.
You know what's totally cool? I don't want to get off a tangent here, but you know the UVM men's basketball team is playing Boston University in what they call, what do they say?
It's a game for hurricane relief.
They are doing that now around the country, and people are bringing up, can you imagine, talking about college basketball, where you have like Texas and Texas A&M, or you have Kansas and Missouri, where all the rivals get together, who usually Kentucky and Louisville, and you play one game for relief efforts, for money, and stuff. That's a fantastic idea you do, and it doesn't count against the schedule or anything else.
And that game is tonight.
That game is tonight, but that's fantastic. I think that'd be the best thing college basketball could do, add one game. That's fantastic.
On the Celtics, a couple takeaways yesterday is, UVM, tonight, 7 o'clock. I hope you go. I hope you donate. Rich is giving me a bad look.
My look was saying, I'm laughing that we spent 5 minutes going off the subject.
That's all right. Yeah. I mean, on the Celtics, though, I took two things away. One, I thought Al Horford played great.
That's the game of the year, certainly early for him.
Offensively.
Kyrie finally played good.
Offensively, though, Horford with these 18-foot fadeaways, back-to-the-basket fadeaways, those are high degrees of difficulty. It played relatively good defense, making it hard for the Greek Freak to get inside. You know, he had still 24 points, but he didn't have 40 like he nearly did in Boston.
And Jaylen Brown, my gosh, stop
shooting. Horrible, yeah.
He's clearly a pretty confident 21-year-old kid. He just kept shooting and shooting last night. He couldn't make one.
It's good to see Marcus Smart keep shooting the threes, though.
That's great. Other than that.
And he talked some smack to the Bucks crowd. He had 8 points. Jaylen Brown the other day said, I can get to the rim whenever I want.
Yeah. So, he said he was the best in the world at it. Just turned 21.
And then, as for Kyrie, he scores 24 points. That's the most of the season for him. The big key was 10 of 18 shooting, that he was actually efficient. Okay, he can't go 7 for 25. And I'm sorry, I don't want to compare my new girlfriend to my old girlfriend.
Right.
But if Isaiah Thomas can get 29, average 29 last year, Kyrie Irving needs to be averaging 25, 26.
Is he shooting as much as Kyrie? I don't know. To be honest with you, I don't know what Kyrie was averaging shots per, but I think Kyrie.
Kyrie had like the high, along with Russell Westbrook last year, were top five in the NBA
in
shots per game.
That's shocking, considering he's on a team with Kevin Love and LeBron. I thought that Isaiah averaged more shots per game than Kyrie last year.
I think they were right there, but Isaiah, Isaiah had less to work with, as you said, but Kyrie just hasn't been efficient for the moment. 7 for 25, things like that. I haven't been all that impressed, honestly, to this point. We're six games in or something like that. There's plenty of time. But right now, I'm not that impressed.
And, let's face it, Horford was the man last night. He hit 27 and 9, and what did he miss? I think he missed three shots the entire game. But how about Aaron Baines? I've been making fun of that guy. It's like, who? You know, I mean, he's like the 13th man on the 12-man roster. Comes out there last night, scores 12 points, had 7 rebounds in limited time. I mean, if you can get some of these guys to make a difference, they're going to be very good.
No, I still think they have no bench. Let's be honest. I mean, if you take a look at bench scoring around the NBA, and I have no idea what it is, I don't think theirs is going to be very high.
Well, he had 32 last night, so...
Who had 32?
24 total between the whole bench.
Okay, I was like, no, who I had 32 last
I mean,
last
what is
night,
a Jaylee? Yeah. What is Larkin? I mean, we don't know. Yabusele, who knows? I mean,
yeah, like I said, there's not a lot of bench on that team, so I think it's going to eventually take its toll on them. Look, when they lost Hayward, I think they lost a hell of a lot, and now it's going to go ahead and come back and bite them. I don't think they win the division. I don't think they go to the Eastern Conference Finals now because of what they've got.
We'll see. Who's going to?
Go to the Eastern Conference Finals?
Yeah, I mean, obviously Cleveland. And
Cleveland's already marked.
What do you think, Washington?
Yeah. Well, I know it's not going to be my New York Knicks. We can throw that out there.
That's a pretty safe bet.
The Knicks who play, New Jersey tonight or something? I'm hoping.
They're called Brooklyn, but yes.
Yeah. Brooklyn, New Jersey.
That was, 10 years ago?
Yeah, thank you. I'm looking at 0-4 on that. Brady, real quick, let's get to Pedroia. That's a big thing. He's going to be out 7 months, and... Geez, that just sucks. Because now you got to pay him all that money, and you can't get rid of him. Nobody going to. You have two people on the team that nobody wants to touch with a 10-foot pole. But Pedroia and Price.
I'm sorry to say this because I don't look at injury as a good thing. I actually think this is the best case scenario for the Red Sox. Number one, he's going to take the time necessary to actually get healthier, and maybe he can be productive for an entire stretch of 100 to 120 games rather than in and out for 120 games. I think that's beneficial.
This feels like something that's been in the works for 5 years. I mean, every year he has some reason that he's being held back, but it was always, oh, he's really stubborn. It's impossible to take him out even for one inning of a game and all that. We can wipe that out now. I think he's coming to the realization that he's not 25 anymore. And you're right. Come back and give us the Dustin Pedroia we were used to.
Come
not
back.
A lot of power, but a, 290 and a real dirt dog.
How old is he, did you say? How
He's 34.
Shame on them for giving somebody another, how many more years left? 4 more years?
Four.
Till he's 38 years old? And I, look, I know it's not a position where, you know, it's excruciating like a pitcher or something, but you can't give a guy that long of a contract till he's 38. That's ridiculous. I don't care how much you love the
guy.
But
when he signed it, he had been relatively healthy and productive, very productive.
So what, though? You got to be fiscally responsible. You can't, after the David Price debacle and what's-his-face, the Sandoval, that's 3 contracts. That's like an albatross around your neck with Price. Well, And Pedroia and Sandoval, that destroys teams because of that.
I still say let's see on Price. I haven't given up on him yet.
It doesn't matter. It's a horrible contract. It's already a horrible contract.
The other thing on Pedroia is that he's not going to be around the facilities as much in spring training. He's not going to be on the field as much. He's not going to be as much a part of the everyday. I think that's beneficial for Alex Cora. For a new manager, we've all been saying, what's the first thing he needs to do? He needs to get to Pedroia, get him to buy in. Well, if Pedroia's not there, then he can have a little more freedom to manage the way he wants to and not be beholden to trying to impress Pedroia, win Pedroia over, or deal with Pedroia stubbornness. And if mid-May comes and the team's played well, then Pedroia's the one who has to assimilate back in and not Cora.
Who's the second baseman for Boston next year?
It's not going to be Nunez. They're not going to sign him, about that.
Boy, I would.
I think it should be Nunez.
They're not going to give him that money. How much money are you going to spend between Nunez and Pedroia at second base? Obviously, you could move Nunez when Pedroia comes back because he can play any position.
But let's see what Nunez wants first. I don't want to get into a bidding war with him.
You are.
But if it's something reasonable, I absolutely go after him.
It's not reasonable. Nothing's reasonable
in
baseball.
Nothing is reasonable.
Real quick, want to get to a call there, Brady?
Quick, we can say Jim in Essex, real quick.
Jim in Essex. Jim, you're on 101.3 ESPN. What's going on, Jim?
Hey, guys.
Hey, Jim.
Listening to you talk about Pedroia, Brady, and I think you hit one of the biggest problems the Red Sox have right on the head. He fancies himself a leader for some reason, and his attitude does go through the team. I remember when Valentine coached that year, I lost a lot of respect for Pedroia when he told Valentine that's not the way the Red Sox do things.
Yeah, no,
it's not his job to say that.
Yeah, Jim, we appreciate the call. Look, I agree. I think his attitude last year was really subpar. He soured on me as well. I think they needed him to step up to be a leader in the absence of Big Poppy, and I think he didn't.
He's always seemed to me to be really ornery. I mean, I felt that way from the very beginning with him, but it was always sugar-coated and covered up by the fact that he was busting his butt every second on the field.
It's the same thing as always. if you're doing really well, things like that go by the wayside. We said it with Chris Sale. Chris Sale looks mean and grumpy all the time, but Chris Sale was pitching like Cy Young in the first half, so nobody cared. Tom Brady yells at his teammates and the team is winning. It's, man, look how fire he is. Mm-hmm. If Tom Brady starts losing, it's going to be, man, look what a sore, look what a sourpuss, what a sore loser he is.
He always seemed like such a strange choice for the Sullivan Tire ads.
All right, Rich, I know you got a game tonight. We're going to come back. We'll give you the high school scene. We'll let you know what's going on as we finish off hour number one. You are in the huddle right here on 101.3 ESPN.
Okay, that was a long enough break. We're back to the huddle with Rich and Arnie right here on 101.3 ESPN.
I have a lot of texts. We'll have to get to those later on, including the one that says, oh, there goes Arnie with his split season again. So,
no, give it up, man.
No.
It's not going to happen.
No, it's not my original idea. It happens in the minor leagues, Rich. It's not like
Yes, it does. But that,
yeah.
Okay.
All right. Well, whatever. Go ahead, give me some high school stuff. What do we? You got a game tonight, MMU at Burlington.
Yeah.
Number six against number three.
6-3. Yeah, that should be fun. Burlington lost 2 weeks ago in a game we did over at BHS to Middlebury, and Middlebury looks really good coming in. They are the 5 seed. They're at BFA tonight. I'll tell you, that should be a doozy, the 5 against the 4. I have no idea where that one's going.
Okay.
MMU has been good. We had a game last week with them over at CVU, and they won easily.
This is a rematch, right, MMU?
It is. 42-33 was the final for Burlington over in Jericho on October 7th. So this could be a shootout. Absolutely. Colchester at Hartford tonight.
That's going to be a blowout.
That's going to be tough. And CVU gets to go over to Fairbanks Field to play undefeated number one St. J. tomorrow. Good luck with that.
Is there an overwhelmingly favorite to win this whole thing, or is it like a top two or three?
I would say St. J. and Hartford are probably the favorites to get to Rutland in the championship.
And if they don't make it, who's the surprise team that took them
out? Well, Burlington only lost one game all year. But I'll tell you, BFA only lost to St. J. and to Hartford by a couple of points in the last minutes of those games. So really, you've got 4 teams all good, and they're all hosting tonight. Division II, Milton is home against U32. U32 is about as good a 6 seed as you'll see. It wouldn't surprise me to see an upset there, but
look,
I hope I'm wrong.
Look at you calling the upset there on that one.
Well, I hope I'm wrong.
All right. Big crowd tonight at Burlington or what?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, weather's supposed to cooperate.
That's nice outside, Halloween weekend and all that stuff.
I'll be doing the whole game from outdoors, which is fine for the first half, but trust me, by the fourth quarter.
Well, why are you wearing shorts? What's wrong with you? You know, I don't want to hear you complain about the weather out there.
Do you ever hear me complain about the weather?
No, you don't.
No, I love the weather up here.
By the way, Brady, do I got to give my sweatshirt away if I lose in fantasy football? I really got to give away that sweatshirt?
No.
No, because that guy's
they wanted to play you one-on-one.
Rich, 7 o'clock, MMU at Burlington.
Yep.
So check it on out. Should be a good game. And did you do that game the first time, or was it Jason?
I did not, but I've had 2 or 3 Burlington games in a row, and okay. I had an MMU game last week, so it's going to be a fun matchup.
All right. Hour one in the books. Brady, what are you going to have, a Sports Center update?
Yes.
And then we'll come back, get a little bit more into what your trip in Oswego was like, because I'm looking forward to that. You had a couple more stories about that or not?
Yeah, more stories, and we'll get our thoughts on Pat's Chargers.
You know, I get a feeling Chargers are going to win that game. I'm feeling the upset, guys.
Maybe
I
really
do. All that's coming up next as we get ready for hour number 2. You're in the huddle right here on 101.3 ESPN.
The local slant on all things sports.
We know that everybody's going to be gunning for us.
It's the huddle with Rich, Arnie, and Brady on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You are in the huddle right here at 101.3 ESPN. Brandon Lang, about 20 minutes away. Our Vegas insiders, stick around for that. And we do have Power Play, the new and exciting game, Sweep of the Country. If you didn't hear, and I know we say this a lot, we really dumbed it down. We stopped doing 3 possible answers. We only have 2 possible answers, and it's true-false. And question one is football played on a football field true-false? And I'm even going to give you the answer. The answer is true. That we had to do that because... let's be honest. You guys have destroyed the game, and you're not very quick when we do the answers a little harder.
Well, yeah, they're sure not quick, and that's part of the problem. They're so not quick that they wait about 20 minutes into it so everyone else can get all the answers for them.
Yes, right. No, that's not going that way. We should get a winner right off the bat, like number one. If we have to take more than one call, I might not even take one more than one.
Well, I'll say three.
No, yeah, two.
All right.
There's 2 questions in the middle. That they're not difficult because it's true-false, but just could trip people up. That's it. There's 2.
It's still 50-50.
I wish our SATs had been true-false.
Oh.
I could have gotten into a Really nice college.
I did well in the SATs.
You're saying Linden's not nice?
No, I didn't say that.
Wow.
Linden was my second college, keep in mind. That was my...
What was your first one?
I went to the University of Hartford. It's the worst 3 months of my life.
I was going
to
say, that doesn't sound like
so
a good
college. Wait. Hold on.
Yeah.
So, you went to Hartford.
Right, on a baseball free route.
Yeah, and you said it was the worst 3 months of your life.
I hated it.
So you decided that 25 years later, you go back to Connecticut for 3 months to a smaller part of Connecticut for baseball.
Again.
So being in Connecticut for 3 months was the worst part of your life ever. And then you went back. So how bad are we then, Arnie, if going back to a place that you hated so much is bad?
You just brushed over the lead.
Boy, that's a
stretch. Played baseball? I threw out the first pitch, and Brady and I had to warm up for like 2 days just for me to throw one pitch from home plate.
All you've ever seen me do is play one round of wiffle ball some drunken day there.
That's and
right.
You struck out.
Yeah, I couldn't do anything.
And you went to catch the ball, and it went off your hands over the fence for a home run.
Oh, I was awful. Absolutely. It's been a long time baseball. Since 1979.
He's like Yasiel Puig the other day.
Yeah. All right. Brady, you were at Oswego. You were speaking to your old school. It must have been a thrill for you.
I was speaking to my old school, spoke to a couple classes, did a couple panel discussions, hung out with some other alumni who were doing the same thing as well. Kids giving me resumes, demo tapes.
Uh-oh.
Like, I think I might have gotten a kid a job.
I used to take those demo tapes and put music on it so I'd have it on. I'm just kidding. Go ahead.
I might have gotten a kid a job. There's a kid who's from up here. There's a kid in Oswego who's from Plattsburgh.
Okay.
And, you know, so he knows the local TV stations, WCAX and WPTZ and Local 2244.
Does he want to be a weatherman?
No. He wants to be a videographer, so I won't say which station, but I reached out to one of our contacts at that station. Okay. I might have hooked him up with an internship.
Why don't you hook us up with a TV show? It would be nice.
Well, no, it wouldn't.
I don't know how that kind of pull.
I do.
Good.
I'll start making those calls on that.
So it was interesting. So now, Rich, you might not remember this, and Arnie, you might not remember this, but anybody who's under the age of 30 might remember their college years like this.
I remember them vividly, all 8 of them.
Yeah.
Best 8 years of my life.
Oswego is a lot like here, and I imagine, I don't know what the dorm situations are like at St. Mike's or UVM or Champlain or anywhere else, but Oswego is a place where it's absolutely freezing most of the time, okay?
Yes,
like
that's
it's,
for sure.
You know, 20 and sunny, that's what we always used to
and
say.
And it snows for 6 months out of the year.
And it snows like crazy. But the dorm rooms, because I lived in a 10-floor dorm, the dorm rooms were insanely hot.
Yes.
So it's freezing outside.
Yes.
The dorms are insanely hot.
And you have no control over
You have no control over it.
Same as Linden.
So I walk into my on-campus room. They gave me an on-campus room for one night, and that's fine. And I'm like, wow, I vividly remember this. It's like a trillion degrees in here. So I'm sweating my tail off. So uncomfortable.
Are there no windows? You can't open the windows?
There's windows.
Okay.
So then I open up the window.
Still
and
doesn't do any
good. No, it was great.
Oh,
and then I woke
at Linden.
And then I woke up in the morning. And I'm like, wow, it's 15 degrees outside.
Oh, geez.
So I go to bed sweating. I wake up just shivering. Yeah. And I'm like, I vividly remember that. And then I go to the panel discussion. They've got kind of student ambassadors. And they've got these fancy golf carts. And these golf carts have doors on them, so they're enclosed for weather. Yeah, it was great. And as we're driving, these things go like 9 miles an hour. But as we're driving around campus, I'm leaning on the door, and the door just flies open. I nearly fell out.
Oh, that would have been great.
Like jackass.
Oh, that would have been great if you would have fell out and broke your arm or something.
Oh, yeah, that would have been great.
That would have been I would have laughed so hard. Oh, you kidding me?
I nearly fell out of the motorized golf cart.
I would have taken today off, drove to Oswego just to see it myself.
And then the student ambassador who's driving me around, she's all flustered, and she stops, and she tries to back up, and she goes forward and almost hits us into the... almost hits us into the brick structure.
It's a good thing you weren't from the class of 1942.
Yeah. Oh, you would have been dead. You'd broken hip and everything.
So.
But it's funny about the heat because it was the same way at Linden. All 7 of my years there, I was on the top floor, fourth floor of every dorm, and it was blistering hot. And you wonder why I wear shorts for 10 months out of the year.
Wait, you lived in the dorms all 7 years?
I was just
years?
Saying, would you move out after a while,
actually,
you know?
That's a lie. I was thrown off campus after 5.
Yeah, I would think they would say get the hell out
I lived on campus all 4 years, but...
No, I was in a fraternity. We had a cook that was like 80 years old.
Can you imagine him in a frat?
Yes.
Best years of my life. Are you kidding me?
So that was great. That was a lot of fun. I told you the story about when the bar owner... I was there for like 10 minutes. He's like, hey, here's a shot for one back in the day. I'm like, oh, well, okay then.
It's just one? Just a couple of them for crying out loud.
And then Oswego has a very famous sub shop. It's called the Oswego Sub Shop, and it's nationally known because Al Roker.
Oh, you told me Linda Cohn has a sandwich named after her there.
Al Roker's the weatherman on the Today Show. He went to Oswego, and he's got a sub named after him, and he does the Today Show sometimes from Oswego. So he's popularized this thing all over the place. And once he was at the Olympics when they were in Beijing, and Matt Lauer and it might have been Katie Couric, maybe Meredith Vieira, whoever was on the Today Show at the time. She's talking about, how's the food in China? He goes, it's fine, but I'd rather have a sub from Oswego Sub Shop. And he's saying this on the air. And so I made sure to make two trips. I was there for like 12 hours. I made two trips to Sub Shop in that time.
Now, you have a sandwich named after you, right?
No.
Yes, I heard that they named it. It's half tongue, half bologna. Is that not
true?
Wow, but I'm here all week. Yeah. What? That's a joke for crying out. Please.
I would come on now. If I did, I wouldn't be so arrogant to have it named after me. I would just name it The Huddle Sub.
Yeah. I like bologna, by the way.
Well, last name like Farkas, there's got to be something we can do with a name for a sandwich.
I always get the OSS.
Oswego.
Well, Oswego Sub Shop. But,
special. Oh.
I mean, but it's called my sub, OSS. So I always get it's white sub roll with turkey, ham, and roast beef, American cheese, lettuce, and Russian dressing.
You are a man of habit. You are. We had a place like that, but it was called Greasy Tony's, and Greasy Tony died of a heart attack, and the store's closed. So we never got an extra grease was free. So they put that right up there on the menu.
It's always funny to hear what people say, like, oh, here's what's the same about Kyle. And there was a couple other alumni from various years, and there were even people a few years younger than me, like, oh, this has changed. And I'm saying, oh, well, that's changed. And then someone from 1993 was there, and oh, that's changed.
Yeah. And all the bars in Linden are gone. And believe me, we did our best. As soon as we left, they closed down. Can't imagine why.
Well, because they didn't have any product left after you were there.
All right. We have Brandon Lang coming up real quick. Just two things I want to get to because I know you want to go ahead and preview the game. We talked about this yesterday. You know, the 49ers sent out a questionnaire to their fans saying, is winning important as part of the game day experience, right?
Yes.
It sounds like a stupid thing. You'd be surprised. Well, first of all, a lot of people texted on that yesterday, said, well, in baseball, it's not so important if you go to the game and the Red Sox win. There's 81 home games and you're going, maybe you're taking your kid or your thing like that. If I went to the game yesterday and I saw my Dolphins lose 40-0, I don't care if I was taking a busload of kids. I'd be pretty upset about that. I think it's 99% of the experience.
Yeah, I need the team to win. I guess above winning, I would say the first thing is that the starters play. I think that's the first thing.
I agree. If
I'm a baseball fan, I will not buy a ticket to a Sunday home game knowing that Sunday home games, you know, getaway days, those are going to be the days where guys may not play.
Right.
And if I can only go to one game a year, I'm going to spend all that money and take all that effort and get off work, you know, Sunday maybe not off work. But I don't want to see my starting shortstop sit that day.
But if you're going to take a kid, say you take your kid, is 7 years old.
I want
old,
my kid's favorite player to be playing.
Yeah,
that's number one.
How much important is it that they win the game then?
I'd rather have my kid's favorite player play and them lose. Now, that's if I'm taking my kid.
Right.
If I'm going with just me at this age, I want to see the team win.
Right. Football, obviously.
Football for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
Every game, actually, you know, every game is important.
Yeah.
The team needs to win, but if I'm taking my kid, his favorite player needs to play.
Yeah. Baseball, especially.
Yeah.
I mean, absolutely. 162 games, whatever, win or lose. I couldn't let this go. I wanted to know if you had any thoughts on your Miami Dolphins last
40
night.
To nothing. I couldn't watch the game. When it went from 26 to 33, I don't even remember, it was just a blur. If I would have paid to go to the game, I would be real upset to do that.
I mean, this is a team
horrible.
That was 4-2 coming in with all kinds of promise, a nice streak going.
What the
hell was that?
Devastated. It was 5-2 and you're in first place in the division. So there was a lot on the line there. So
and
horrible.
What are the Ravens? I mean, you want parity. Hello.
Yeah. No, it was. Don't believe me. Believe 40-0. I don't want to see it. All right. I was going to get to the two World Series tickets. We'll get to that later on. I want you to get to the game, though. Chargers, 7-point underdog to the Patriots out there. Now the Patriots are going to have a little problem defensively. They should win this game. The Lions opened up at 5.5, so all the bettors are betting on the Patriots. I'm not so sure it's going to be as easy as people think it's going to be, guys.
I think the Chargers are going to win, and I think that, you know, I don't say that lightly. I'm not, you know, I'm not like Arnie. I'm not saying this stuff to get a rise out of you. I found myself constantly defending the Patriots, constantly spinning things positively in their favor. Excuse me.
Whoa. Easy there.
Sorry.
Wow.
I just
rough night.
Maybe that's that stuff you drank at the Oswego bar house
at the
last night.
Green's Ale House. It was two nights ago.
Whatever.
I just think that I just think the Chargers have something going here. I think if they can control the run game on offense. And I know the Patriots' run defense has been really good, but Anthony Lynn had the number one rush offense last year in the league when he was in Buffalo. His team runs the ball well. They can churn up the time of possession. Phillip Rivers isn't afraid to go deep down the field, isn't afraid to take some chances. If he connects on those, they've got two good possession wide receivers, or tight ends in Hunter Henry and Antonio Gates. They've got a big play guy in Keenan Allen. They've got special teams return men in Travis Benjamin. I think this team has a lot more going for it than a 3-4 record. I think they win on Sunday.
I think high scoring, close. I'll go Pats just because they're home. I mean, that's the only reason I'm picking them here. I mean, I think this is the day, finally, that Deion Lewis really breaks it out. And I'm talking about 100 yards rushing,
wow,
a couple of touchdowns.
On that. Yeah.
I just think San Diego's, first of all, their rush defense is second worst in the NFL.
Yeah.
And they've got to control the ball. You've got to keep Brady from any third and long situations, passing downs. You got Bosa. You got Ingram. What do they have, 16 sacks between the two of them? I mean, think about how many sacks that is. We're not even halfway through the season yet. Brady's going to get killed if he tries to pass the ball 40 times in this game.
You know what? Just a side note on the L.A. Chargers. And I know it's...
Whatever they're called.
No, I understand that. But how would... They're the only team that I know in professional sports that they do not have a fan base. The people in San Diego despise them. They play in Los Angeles in a 30,000-seat stadium.
Which is half empty.
And they can't even come close to selling it out.
Yep.
Nobody wants to go to the games. Nobody cares about going to the games. The only people that go to the games are people that are fans of the visiting team. They have no fan base whatsoever. The NFL should force them to go back to San Diego, because what they've done to their team is just an atrocity.
I'll give them a lot of credit. I really will. This is a team that started 0-4 in, of all places, the AFC West, where everybody was 3-0, 2-1. I mean, they were almost mathematically eliminated by week 3.
Yeah.
And they have come storming back. They've done it with a great rush. They've, you know, Phillip Rivers, how old is he now? I mean, people just...
He's like 36?
People have just dismissed him.
I think around that. I'm not sure.
They've now come back. They've won 3-0, and they're right back in the middle. Whoever saw that coming a month ago.
I really like... I'm so excited to see the offensive line for the Patriots. Every week we always talk about who's the one guy we want to watch. I think the offensive line collective is what I'm watching this week, because you mentioned the numbers for Bosa and Ingram. They can really get after the quarterback, not even just with them, but with that entire front seven. I think the Chargers pose some real problems to the Patriots up front. And as a result, I think you're going to see the ultimate chess match in this game in terms of play calling. Tom Brady's throwing the deep ball at a rate he's never thrown in his career. I don't think he's going to be able to throw the deep ball as much, because you said we don't need seven-step drops are not going to behoove the Patriots in this game. I think you are going to see more classic Patriot, two-yard, wide receiver screen, quick cross route, back out of the backfield, maybe some more traditional run plays. I think this is get the ball out of Brady's hands as quick as possible.
I'm going to get to the Flacco story in just a minute. Rich, you read the story this morning. A gentleman, a guy in Los Angeles, a Dodger fan, went to buy two tickets to the World Series.
Yes.
The tickets are valued at about $900 a piece.
Yeah.
What happened, Rich? There was a computer glitch, I guess.
Yeah, I think they forgot a couple of zeros, and they ended up being $9.
$9 a piece. they found out their mistake. Thumbs up to, is it StubHub? Who said, you know what? It's our error.
Yep.
We will... honor the tickets, and you get them for $9 a piece. I'll take 10, you know, but that's just, you know, $90, I'll take 10 of them, but $900, I would have sold them, but, you know, the guy gets them for $9.
No, good for them, because that could be a little bit of a shady business, and it's, you know, it's nice to see them taking the hit because of their own stupidity.
And that's a great story, but did you see the story I sent you right before the show?
On...
The story from Barstool Sports, did you see that?
Yes, I did, yeah.
How about this one, Rich? You can appreciate this one. This guy, he went to buy beer at a convenience store.
I saw that.
At 11, the store was open late, but the beer cooler closed at midnight. So he was in there at midnight, and it locked him in.
It's automatic lock.
And instead of trying to get out, he just stayed in the cooler and just drank product. And now he's been charged with theft because he drank a Labatt Blue and 3-4 Locos, and then knocked over a 30-pack of Busch Light.
Yeah, and he had a 32-ouncer of something, too, I'm thinking, too.
So absolutely nothing was his fault, except the fact that he decided to go have the beer. What are you going to do? You're stuck in a store all night.
Well, the store was open. He could have knocked on the door. Hey, let me out.
Yeah. But he's like,
so now he's, right. Now he's got theft.
Well, yeah.
I got stuck in the Chinese buffet once. And, no, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding on that. I wouldn't have. I would have just stayed there all night and eaten my way there. All right. We didn't get to the Joe Flacco thing, but I think that was a good hit. I'm probably the only one in the.
I do too.
Yeah. And, well, Brady Papinga did too.
So yeah, he slid too late.
Yeah. So we'll get to that also. Brandon Lang, though, our Vegas insiders coming up. And then, of course, we got Power Play, the new and exciting game sweeping the country. You're in the huddle right here on 101.3 ESPN.
Mike and Mike when you drive in, and the huddle when you drive home.
Yes, I'm free!
Sports Talk lives right here on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, welcome back. You're in the huddle right here, 101.3 ESPN, guys, right out to the TikTok Jewelers guest line. Joining us now, as he does every week, you can check him out at BrandonLang.com. That's BrandonLang.com. It's our buddy, it's Brandon Lang. How you doing, Brandon?
Matt, I tell you what, this is a very humbling business that I chose for a profession the last 25 years, man. Last Saturday, UCF gets there, 80 dime winner. Sunday, 100 dime winner. Bills bought down to 2.5. Monday night, Philly in the over in a teaser. Tuesday night, Dodgers game 1. Wednesday night, Astros game 2.
Ooh.
Going for 6 straight winning days last night. I'm looking at the board. I like Georgia State, but what do I use? I use the Miami Dolphins. How do I do?
Oh, jeez. Yeah, that... Now, if you're going to lose, you might as well lose that way. You know what I mean?
I said on an earlier show today, I said, listen, to be as hot as I was, 5 straight, going for 6 straight, just, you knew if you watched that game and knew anything about football from the very first possession watching Matt Moore, you go, this is over. I flicked it back. I went and watched, I don't know, I think I watched Predator 2 on TNT for crying out loud.
I was going to say World Series. I see you got some action down on that. Boy, that game 2 was unbelievable, huh?
One of the greatest games I ever saw in my life. And not from the standpoint of I had the winner, just as a fan in the extra innings. And I tell you what, they're like the Saints in their Super Bowl run when they beat a Colts team that was better than them. You almost think, and that was the year of Katrina, you also think maybe there is a force bigger than all of us behind this Astros team. We'll find out more tonight, but it kind of feels that way.
Yeah.
Brandon, I was out yesterday, but Arnie was sending me email after email, including odds on Yankees' next manager. So are you going to put any action down on if it's going to be Rob Thompson, Raul Ibanez? Who? You going to put money down on that?
That's a really good question. That's the number one most coveted managerial position in big league baseball.
Yeah.
Bar none. So as you sit here and go, well, who's out there? Who's out there right now that fits the bill that can come in there and handle the New York media and be like, you know what? I got this. And as crazy as it sounds, Dusty Baker ain't a bad call. But they won't do it because of how he went out in Washington. But as far as the top of the line, in your opinion, I don't know who's out there right now that would jump at this.
Brandon.
I don't think any of the names you named are big enough. No. I don't. I really don't. You have to have a name. You have to have a personality. Who's out there that can contend ego-wise with New York and handle the New York?
You know, maybe it's Asmus. You know, they talked about that. You know, somebody with a name like that. But if Ken, he's you know, I don't know if he's bold enough. I don't know, Brandon. We'll have to wait and see on that. But let's go ahead and get to some football for crying out loud. Rich, so start things off.
All right. It hasn't been bad enough in London, and now they get the Browns upon them this week. Vikings-Browns. Vikings minus 9.5. That Minnesota defense can get after it. Their linebackers can fly. They're going to kill DeShone Kizer. They've lost Joe Thomas, Cleveland's front line has, and I just think the Vikings take care of that minus 9 line.
Yeah, big line. Sometimes you just look what your final score is going to be. This kind of has the same feel that Cincinnati Bengal matchup with Cleveland. They won it 31-7. I think it's the same type of domination. Not a big person to lay double digits, but at the end of the day, I think that line's going to probably go up to 10, maybe 10.5.
Wow.
I think Minnesota's the right side of the game. Also, I don't know how they're going to reach that total of 38. This is a Browns team that's gone under the post a total 11 of their last 15 games. I like under 38 more. If I had to play a side, I think you're on the right side with Minnesota.
I was going to go with that under 38, but I'll give you my second pick. I'll go under 42 in Indianapolis, Cincinnati. I don't see Indy moving the ball real well. This might be a lopsided win for Cincy, but I don't see Indy scoring a lot. I'll stay under 42. What do you think?
you know, it might be your final score 42-0. they're that bad right now, the Colts. They're suffering from a depth problem. That's why they're getting blown out in the second half of games. They're shutting Luck down. The whole cloud over the franchise, which is sad because I know Jim Irsay. I met Chuck Pagano, two great people. But at the end of the day, players win championships, and they have none. So I think you're right on the right side. Again, hate laying double-digit numbers, but I would rather lose first going against that team than to take a shot with the Colts and be like, you know what, I think they can be in this football game. I don't think so, right side of the game.
All right, Brandon, Chicago and New Orleans, down in New Orleans, Saints are laying 9. They're a hot team. They're better at home. Chicago with the rookie quarterback going on the road. I have no trust in Trubisky. I don't know what everybody sees in him because I certainly don't see it. I think the Saints run away with this one by like 3 touchdowns. Give me the Saints minus the 9.
Well, they put up a 50 spot on the wonderful, wonderful Detroit Lions. So you would think that if they can do that at home and they just did whatever they want, they've covered 4 in a row. And you look at this Bears team on the road, lost by 22 at Tampa, lost by 21 at Green Bay, and then they beat the Ravens, who, of course, a lot of people had Miami tonight, last night.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, you're right, rookie quarterback on the road against that Saints defense, Saints right side of the game.
Brandon, my first pick, Cleveland or Minnesota over Cleveland with the points. I'm going to say that the same thing with the Cowboys minus 2 and the Redskins. I just think the offensive line of Washington is too banged up. They're going to have a hell of a time keeping Kirk Cousins upright. And Cowboys looked awful good last week. I'm taking Dallas minus the points.
You're getting fooled by they looked really good last week. I'm going to jump on the board this week. You ever hear the old saying, you know, I'm just a day late to the dance?
Oh, yes.
I think you're a day late to the dance here. The time to get on the Cowboys and take that hot babe to the dance and French kiss on your first slow dance song in the seventh grade was last week at San Francisco. Now the whole world's going to jump on them, and you watch. Washington will win that game outright.
Brandon Lang from BrandonLang.com with us. Brandon, I know I always try to stay away from betting on my actual team that I enjoy watching, but I'll go with the Seahawks here. They're minus 5.5. I think Houston's really good, but Seattle's defense is playing great. They always step up to big challenges, and I think they'll shut Deshaun Watson down his first trip to the 12th man. I'll take the Seahawks.
You know, I'm going to leave that alone because Houston is the hot team right now. That posted total is 45.5. If you look at this ball game and you look at that total, the over has cashed 4 straight with the Texans, 4 of their last 5 versus the spread. And Seattle quietly has gone over the posted total 10 of their last 15 at home. 45.5, I could see a 28-20 final. People sweating the back door. Little Joe Flett's going to use a whole fist there, Doc. So I'm going to leave the side alone. I'm going to call for an over 45.5.
All right, Brandon, I'm going to stay with the hot team. I'm going to stay with a team that people still don't believe in. I'm going to go with the Bills. Give me Buffalo minus the 2.5. I just don't have trust in the Raiders. I don't like the way they're playing. I don't like them going across country. I just don't like anything about them right now. I got to take Buffalo on this one.
Artie, you are on the right side of this game, my friend. You are jamming. Oakland 1-2 versus a spread away this year. Buffalo did something that showed me a lot last week. Remember, I had a minus 2.5. They were facing a 3rd-and-9 at the 24-yard line, looking at a 40-something yard field goal under 2 minutes. Tampa Bay had 2 timeouts. 99% of the coaches across the NFL would have ran the ball there, made Tampa use one of their last 2 timeouts, kick the field goal, and give them the ball back with about a minute 40 to go, and you're sweating bullets. Not Sean McDermott. Tampa called timeout. He called the play, rolled Tyrod Taylor out. They threw the ball, picked up the first down, took the clock down to 14 seconds, and I got myself a win. I'm not going against that right there. Buffalo minus 2.5.
Brandon, I need a guaranteed winner. You had a rough day. I had a rough last, 2 weeks. I need a guaranteed winner. Give me something from the college ranks because I'm so frustrated with the NFL.
Big games, you know, like Penn State, Ohio State, Georgia, Florida, NC State, Notre Dame.
My friend, you want a bona fide college winner, I'm going to hand it to you on a silver platter. I'm going to tee it up for you so nicely. You're going to say, oh, B. Lang, thank you very much and have a nice day. The Virginia Cavaliers will bounce back after their loss to Boston College and go on the road and beat Pittsburgh. People tend to forget that's a pretty good Boston College team right now that thumped Virginia and created the line value of Pitt being the favorite here. How soon we forget Virgin went to the blue carpet and beat a Boise team, one of the toughest places to play, and beat them by 24 points as a 13-point dog. Virginia's for real. take them plus three. Got yourself a winner.
And Brandon, give us the local fans. Obviously, the Patriots at home against the Chargers. Chargers are getting 7. You know, Patriots opened up as a 5.5-point favorite. That shot up immediately. Which is the right side of this one for our local fans?
Let me tell you something right now. In 2005, Two for the Money came out October 7th. The week prior to that, I did the red carpet premiere, and I got out, and I'm sitting there next to McConaughey, and we're doing the interviews, and we're doing the photographers, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, somebody said, "Hey, Mr. Lang, do you have a pick for this week?" And I looked up, and I said, "Yeah, I got a pick this week. The San Diego Chargers are going to go into New England and snap their 23-game home winning streak. Drew Brees is going to light them up, and they're going to win the game outright. Final score, Chargers 41, New England 17. Now, I don't know if they can win this game outright, but it's the month of October, which Two for the Money was released. It just happens to be 12 years later, but I'm coming right back, right side of the game, Chargers plus 7.5.
And, you know, if you're ever going to make a movie again, you've got to put me in it. I've got to have some part there, Brandon.
You're going to be the guy that takes my valet keys with the strip joint to go to and say, "Mr. Lang, a pleasure to meet you."
Brandon.
Sounds like your first movie.
Yeah. Sounds like my first job. Now, Brandon, go ahead and tell everybody what they're going to get on BrandonLang.com.
We're looking for a third straight winning week, third straight winning weekend. We're on fire right now, even though we hit the speed bump last night. Still 5-1 my last 6 selections. $10 bettors up close to 3,000. One day free all access pass. If you take advantage today, you can pick Saturday, Sunday. I'll give you free as well. $1,000 value, absolutely free. 7 to 10 best bets, courtesy of BrandonLang.com.
Brandon, have a great weekend, my friend. We'll speak to you next week.
Thanks, guys.
Always good to hear from Brandon Lang, our Vegas insider. We'll see how we do this weekend, guys, so I'm looking forward to that. It is time for Power Play, the new and exciting game sweeping the country. And, yes, we changed it. We really did dumb it down. We went from 3 answers to 2 answers, and we just made it true-false. And so easy that the first question is, football is played on a football field, true-false, and the answer is true. All the questions like that, because our newest sponsor, Eco Beans and Greens, giving away a $25 gift certificate, and we wanted to make sure we gave it away. We're tired of you guys not ever winning anything in Power Play. So now we've really made it easy, Rich.
And if you don't win this week, we're really dumbing it down. We're giving you one choice of an answer next week.
Let me tell you something. If I don't get a winner within 3 calls, Power Play is canceled forever, okay? That's how easy it is. So time for Power Play, 802-655-6672, 802-655-6672. That's coming up next right here on 101.3 ESPN.
And it's time for the new and exciting game that's sweeping the country. This is Power Play, brought to you by Eco Beans and Greens. Hearty-sized portions with a mouthful of flavors in the Blue Mall, South Burlington.
Oh, yes, it is time for Power Play, the new and exciting game sweeping the country. Let me tell you how we play the game. We ask you a question. If you get that question wrong, you will hear this. We will move on. If you come on there and go, wait a minute, you're going too fast, you will hear this. If you come on there and go, wait a minute, question 4 is wrong, well, you're probably right. We don't care because we made it so easy, you shouldn't even have to say that. But you'll still hear this and we'll move on. If you get a question right, we'll ask you another. If you get all 10 questions right, you win the $25 gift card. Thanks to our friends over at Eco Beans and Greens in the Blue Mall in South Burlington. I'll tell you more about that in a little bit. And we did dumb it down. We made it true-false. I know we have people on hold. Well, you don't even need to call after this, because we'll have a winner right off the bat.
Right, this is second-grade stuff.
So, Rich, if I said to you Tom Brady is the quarterback for the Patriots, you would say?
That's true.
You are so good at this game.
Thank you.
Oh, you're so good. Brady, if I said to you the Patriots have only 1 win this year, you would say?
Well, that's false, because they have 5.
You guys are so good at this. Really, that's how easy it is. True, false. True, false. I was going to say, don't make it any harder than it's got to be. But is that even hard? We're going to get a winner right off the bat, I promise you. True, false. True, false. That's how easy it is. So without further ado, it is time for Power Play. If we don't get a winner, I was going to say within 2 calls, I'll cancel Power Play.
Yeah. This is a 5-on-3.
It's like the easiest thing in the history of the world. We had to dumb it down just so I can give something away. Brady, who's first up?
John in Essex Junction.
John in Essex Junction. The pressure's on you, John. Are you ready for Power Play?
I'm set.
John, what are the 2 answers?
True or false?
Yes. Confidence level high.
Yes.
High. Yes. Let me tell you something. We dumbed it down. We should just say we got a winner right off the bat. Here we go. And I wasn't kidding around. Football is played on a football field.
True.
Yes.
Arnie went to the University of Arizona.
True.
Arnie's son is currently playing college hockey.
False.
Rich's favorite beer is Budweiser.
True.
Oh, no. What?
That's a tricky question.
What? Well, now you know the answer.
Yes,
now.
You do.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, that's right. Once one person gets it wrong,
once you
got
it wrong,
it.
You got to. People are calling. What are you calling for? We should have a winner right now.
Yeah, that wasn't quite.
Who's next up
Kevin,
there?
Kevin in Middlebury.
All right, Kevin. You're the winner. You're the winner, Kevin. Kevin?
I hope so.
Yeah. Kevin.
Hello.
Yeah, it's so easy. What are the two possible answers?
True or false?
Oh, confidence level through the roof.
Amazing how they through grasp the roof.
It's amazing. It's so much easier of a game. All right, are you ready?
Yes, sir.
Football is played on a football field.
True.
Arnie went to the University of Arizona.
True.
Arnie's son is currently playing college hockey.
False.
Rich's favorite beer is Budweiser.
False.
Nice.
Brady's favorite beer is Red Stripe.
True.
Arnie had 2 goals in floor hockey last night.
False.
What? What? Why would you say?
Why would anybody think you scored a goal?
I had 2 goals. I put it out on Twitter. I had 2. We lost 4-3, and I had to. I'm starting to get mad at my teammates. Suck. But I had 2 goals.
By the way, it's Bud Light. To let everyone know.
Yes, Rich's favorite beer is Bud Light.
Yeah, now that I'm slimming down.
You do it, and you look good.
Oh, yeah.
I wanted you to look
very, very svelte.
So we only had 2 online, because I thought we'd have a winner by now. Do we have anybody else?
Dave in South Burlington.
I'm surprised we have to go 3 deep now.
I said 3 calls.
Dave should be the winner. Dave, you're the winner! Dave!
Thank you, Arnie.
Dave, what are the 2 possible answers?
Is this Big Dave?
Is this Big Dave?
Yes, Big Dave.
Oh, Big Dave can't win.
I should hang up on you since you didn't come play basketball with us.
Well, Brady wasn't there, so you're no competition.
Wow. See, this is why people don't like you, Arnie.
This is exactly why. All right, what are the 2 answers, Big Dave?
True and false.
Confidence level very low. Very low with Big Dave. I just don't believe that he's going to get them all right. Ready? Here we go. Arnie's son is currently playing college hockey.
False.
Arnie went to the University of Arizona.
True.
Football is played on a football field.
True.
Rich's favorite beer is Budweiser.
False.
Brady's favorite beer is Red Stripe.
False.
Oh, my goodness. See, that's why Big Dave's not invited to basketball anymore.
Do people hear us when they're on hold?
This is the easiest. Seriously, I don't even want to go to a 4th one. Yes, they hear us when they're on hold.
So they just need to listen on hold.
I'm just shocked. I didn't anticipate we'd have more than 2 calls on
just
this.
For that, Big Dave is going to score 47 against you next week.
I'm shocked. Do we have another call? Do we take another call?
We got Craig in Essex.
I don't even know if we want to go with Craig in Essex. Craig in Essex, are you ready for power play?
I'm ready, LeVar.
Oh, look at LeVarney.
LeVarney. LeVarney.
Look how long it took him just to answer that. What are the 2 answers there, Craig?
False or true?
Right off the bat, that's true or false. Who says false or true?
Confidence level very backwards.
Very bad. -2. -2 on that. All right, here we go. Football is played on a football field.
True.
Arnie's son is currently playing college hockey.
False.
Arnie went to the University of Arizona.
True.
Rich's favorite beer is Budweiser.
False.
Brady's favorite beer is Red Stripe.
True.
Arnie had 2 goals in his 4 hockey game last night.
Oh, for sure. That's true.
Brady is an only child.
False.
Rich likes the Celtics better than the Bruins.
False.
Brady just turned 27 years old.
True.
We just talked about his birthday like all month.
We just talked about it all week.
All month.
We just went to RJ's to celebrate my birthday.
First time caller, first time listener.
I've come to the conclusions you guys stink at this game. Seriously, we made I could say 2 + 2 = 4. I told you. We can say 2 and 2 = 4, and we're still going to get a loser.
Your wife texted in and goes, this is way too easy. This is way too easy.
Yeah, no, it's easy for her.
It's way too easy, and yet we're on caller 5. That's what. Where's my, this is too easy. Too easy. We still haven't gotten a winner. We're 10 minutes into the game. We haven't gotten a winner. It's like, can you pick the winning lottery numbers between 1 and 3? No, I can't do it. I can't do that. I don't even know what to do. We take any more calls? We stopped taking. I said, just get 2 on the line because we won't have to go more than 2. Now we're like 5 in.
Arnie's going to be in the ER in an hour.
Unbelievable. Do we have another call?
I think it's Tyler in Burlington, I think.
I don't know. I don't even know how we're getting 5 now. Tyler?
Yeah.
Are you ready for power play?
I am.
Oh, confidence level. Do you even know the 2 answers?
True or false?
There you go.
Are you excited to win your gift card?
I don't think he's going to win. I don't think he's going to win.
We'll see.
Oh, wow. He's calling me out. Brady's favorite beer is Red Stripe.
True.
Rich's favorite beer is Budweiser.
False.
Artie went to the University of Arizona.
True.
Artie's son is currently playing college hockey.
False.
Football's played on the football field.
True.
Arnie had 2 goals in 4 hockey game last night.
False.
I knew he wasn't going to get away. I knew it.
Yeah, we need
I knew
more
it. No, I don't even know. I don't even know why we're playing anymore. This is like 2 and 2 = 4. You can't even get that right.
This is the last person. We might not get a winner still.
That is disgusting. That is absolutely disgusting. You've ruined the game, one of our favorite games, and we've made it so from now on we're just going to give 1 possible answer.
Yeah, how about exactly? That's what my suggestion was, and I think that's not that far-fetched.
Just true. It's just true. That's the only answer.
Somebody will say false.
John
just true.
John in South Burlington is it.
John.
It's our last hope.
I don't understand how we can not have a winner. John, the pressure's on you, John.
All right, I'm ready.
You didn't even know your name when I just called you. What are the 2 answers, John?
True or false?
Well, at least he said true first.
Yeah.
He didn't say false or true. True or false.
No, maybe.
You know all the answers by now, do you not?
I'm feeling good.
Okay.
Just feeling good? All right, confidence levels. All right, here we go. Artie went to the University of Arizona.
True.
Football's played on a football field.
True.
Brady's favorite beer is Red Stripe.
True.
Rich's favorite beer is Budweiser.
False.
Arnie's son is currently playing college hockey.
False.
Arnie had 2 goals in his 4 hockey game last night.
True. Well done, Arnie.
Thank you. Brady's an only child.
False.
Rich likes the Celtics better than the Bruins.
False.
Brady just turned 27 years old.
False.
Last question.
Here we go.
Please, John.
Take a deep breath. Arnie has previously worked in Seattle.
True.
Oh, my goodness. What is going on?
That's it. No, no. I'm not going to give away the gift card. By the way, thank you, our friends at Eco Beans and Greens. Have you tried Eco Beans and Greens in the Blue Mall in South Burlington? If you haven't, you've got to. Their bowls are big and tasty. They got the big flavors like the sweet and savory Mongolian, which is my favorite. They got the beef barbacoa, which is a Mexican barbecue flavor that packs some heat and lots of flavor. Their bowl satisfies my whole family. Me, of course, I'm the hungry guy. My wife, who eats healthy, even my kid, who's the athlete. I promise, give them a try. You'll be glad you did. And don't forget to try the smoothies, Eco Beans and Greens. In the Blue Mall. So just thank you to our newest sponsors.
Go there. Love it. You're just not going on us.
You're not going on us.
Ever.
It's amazing. Do we even have to dumb it down worse than that?
I thought that was the easiest it could possibly be.
Well, the answer to that question you just asked? True.
So you mean if I said, like, Tom Brady's athlete? No. Tom Brady plays
true.
Football?
All true.
With that? Yeah, all true.
Just have one choice.
But, like, if I said true false, Tom Brady plays football. Would somebody get that wrong?
We did that this week with a football field, and it still didn't work.
The Bruins play their home games in the state of Massachusetts? Okay. No, you're laughing.
No, but I mean,
you're laughing, but look at the questions they got wrong now.
And I think our sponsor would appreciate giving it away just once.
Yes, once. That's why we have so many sponsors for this game. They're lined up because they go, sure, we'll sponsor. We don't have to give anything away.
That's a good investment.
Unbelievable. All right, we'll come back. I'm going to tell you about the most iconic watch. And I got some other BS to give you, too. All right, that's all coming up next right here on 101.3 ESPN.
time for one last piece of news gone untouched throughout the show. Wacky or insightful? It's time for Last Story Standing on the Huddle on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, check this out, guys, real quick. There was an auction of 20th century watches, and Paul Newman's old watch was on the market. It was being auctioned off. It sold for $17.8 million. $17.8 million. The opening bid was $1 million, quickly jumped up to $10 million. The last 5 minutes turned into a showdown for two bidders. It went from $15 million to $17.8 million. You're going to love this. Paul Newman did not have that watch. He gave it to his daughter, to his daughter's college boyfriend, James Cox, in 1984. The guy put the watch away for safekeeping and said, you know, I think I'm going to go ahead and sell it now. He had no idea it was worth that much money. Is that crazy or what?
I'm not a watch guy.
You know, I'm not a watch guy either, but if it's 18 mil, I want to check that thing out.
I'm like a Live Strong bracelet guy.
All right, we got to wrap things up. Brady's got Champlain Valley Game Night. What's coming up on Champlain Valley Game Night?
I'm going to talk to you about World Series Game 3, and I need some help from the listeners right off the bat.
And Jason's here, so Jason will run the board while
do Brady a great job.
Oh, look at you. You get paid by the word again.
Paid by the word. That's so funny. You said it yesterday.
For Rich and for Brady, I'm Arnie. This is a 101.3 ESPN.